Hello, everybody, and welcome to Church Without Walls. I am looking out the window right now, and it is another glorious day. It is good to be in this place and to see everyone out there. I can see everyone because I have my view mode that I click up in the upper right, and I set it on gallery side-by-side view, and that way I can see all of your wonderful smiling faces sitting on couches, standing, kneeling, making breakfast. All of that is worship as we gather. And on this beautiful day, what a day to come together and join together and sing and praise God's wonderful name.
God, we praise your name. Lord of all, we bow before you all honor. Your scepter claim, all in heaven above before you. Infinite in your vast domain, everlasting.
Apostolic chain, throwing the sacred name to hallow. Prophets swell the glad refrain, and the white-robed martyrs follow. And from morn to set of sun, through the church the song goes on. We will praise you, our Creator. We will praise you, Lord of all. We will praise you, our Creator. We will praise.
Son, Holy Spirit, free we name you, though in essence only one. Undivided God, we claim you, and enduring bended knee, while we own the mystery. We will praise you, our Creator. We will praise you, Lord of all. We will praise you, our Creator. We will praise. Creator, we
As we light the Christ candle, we remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. A Lenten prayer from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me.
Good day, Mommy.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise.
Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Noelle. I'm a member here at Church Without Walls. I'm going to lead us in our prayers of the people this morning. This week, we wanted to pray for the situation in Texas. I'm sure there's been lots of headlines. To summarize, big snowstorm, shut down utilities, and specifically we're concerned about the most marginalized people there, disability community, you know, or even people in hospitals, impacts access to ventilators, medication, things like that. I have a link here about how the power outages affected people in prisons. The water is out. A lot going on. The situation highlighting sort of the imbalance between those people in power or places of influence and the marginalized communities. So we just want to take a moment to pray over all of that. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with what on our minds, and want to lift up the impacted communities in Texas. We ask for physical safety, we ask for energy and just that protection as these power outages are happening and lives are disrupted. And God, we we just know so much is out of our control, but also that you are in control, and who knows, this is going to continue to happen in future years. So God, we pray for the leaders that they would be making wise choices and being able to help those who are directly impacted. We pray for vision and we pray for the weeks to come as things are getting more, as hopefully the power gets restored, things will still need to be repaired and all that. We would just pray for safety for everyone. We pray all these things in your name.
Good morning, Seawall. I am Tim Zena Davis. I am a member here at Church Without Walls. And at this time, I'm going to ask everyone to go ahead and unmute yourselves. When you are unmuted, say amen.
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 All right. On the count of three, we will say together, good morning, sisters. Good morning, brothers. I love you, and you can't do nothing about it. One, two, three. Good morning.
Good morning, brothers.
I love you.
All right, go ahead and mute yourselves. And we want to take this opportunity to welcome those of you who are visitors or newcomers with us here at Church Without Walls. Welcome to our community. We are a community that follows Jesus, loving God, the Bible, our neighbor, and the world. We'd like to invite you. If you'd like more information about our church community, or if you'd simply like to be added to our email list, go ahead to the chat box and find the admin at CWOW and go ahead and type in your information and we will hook you up. But again, if you are a visitor or a newcomer, welcome to Church Without Walls. I also want to remind everyone that if you have not already, please go and collect your communion elements. Again, that can be bread, wine, or juice. It can be coffee and toast. It can be cracker and water. Whatever you have will suffice. Just make sure that you have it ready by the time we get to communion. Also, just want to remind everyone that at the end of the kind of announcement period here, we will be breaking out into small groups. So just be prepared for that. We have a couple of announcements. The first, just a reminder that the Lenten Life Groups are starting this week. And so if you would like to sign up, you can use the link in the chat, or you can go to our website and read about the full lineup. We have an announcement from Sister Noelle. Then we will go to Teacher Sarah for I Wonder. And then Pastor Gary will wrap it up by breaking us out into small groups. So Sister Noelle, take it away.
Hi, everyone, again. Let me see. I'm trying to do too many things at once. But I am here to share about a Lenten resource that Dana put together. So Dana put together this really in-depth document about different ways we can approach discipleship and justice with Lenten practices. And so this document, I believe, will be shared on the email list. Somebody should fact check that. Oh, so they put a link in the chat so you can see this document. But resources for contemplation, liturgy, education, /empathy, advocacy, and giving in service. So lots there to go through. And we're hoping that usually we think of Lent as a time to give something up, but perhaps this year we could be adding one of these practices as part of our Lenten discipline. And I think it's Sarah, Teacher Sarah.
Thanks, Noelle. Hi, Godly Play kids. So nice to see you, especially the one I saw in real life this week. What a surprise. Let's see. I'm Teacher Sarah, and it's your turn to sit up close. Some of you are very close. Good job. I just want to say, we miss you. You're very important to us. And I feel very glad to be in a church with you with a lot of superior children, above average for sure. You may all make me very glad. So you might have heard some of the grown-ups talking about Lent and the Lenten small group, and maybe you want to add something for Lent and using that Lent word. Well, that just means everything has changed now in our church year. We've changed our color. I put my purple tablecloth up behind me instead of my green tablecloth. And purple is the color we use to make Lent special. Purple is a color of a king. Some people like to wear their purple shirts. I'm wearing my purple shirt that my brother gave me. I see some more purple shirts. Yeah, it's just to help you remember that it's Lent. This is kind of a getting ready time for Easter, or preparing time for Easter. I wonder what you have there in your house that can help you remember that it's Lent. Maybe it's time to, you know, get out your purple napkins that you use for Lent. Or maybe you have a little piece of felt that you put underneath your special candle. I don't know what you have. What do you have? This year, I have some new things, and you can too. There's a very wonderful person in our church named Sharon, and she organized these big, big, beautiful candles. This is my first time I ever had one of these fancy glass candles, and Loretta said this is the Cairo on it when she came to pick hers up. You can have one of these. We have lots. Oh, thank you. Thanks, Matthias. You have picked yours up. Yes, some of you have picked yours up, and it was nice to see you if I saw you. This year, we also have this most diaphanous purple ribbon that you can put down under your candle or tie around your candle like a bow to remember. If you want to come and get one of these lovely candles, you can have your grown-up, or, you know, if you're old enough yourself, you can email me at my work email at sarah@nowalls.org. I have a few things for you. I'm sorry if you don't live close enough. I wish you all lived close enough to come get one. Sorry about that for kids who are far away. Okay. Let's see. For getting ready for Lent or making room for Easter, I have one other idea. Some of the middle schoolers did this yesterday, and some grown-ups did this yesterday. They went on a kind of walk. I know there were at least two different kinds of walks that people went on, and I made a guide for you guys, a video to give you maybe three or four different ideas for kinds of walks you could go on to help you get ready for Lent. I think it's going to go into the chat, so you can click on that and watch it and tell me what you think. Yeah. All right. If you have any questions about Lent, or you need your grown-up to have some information for me, or you just want to chat, I always stay to the very end, and I'll see you then. Okay, it's nice to talk to you. I love you. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you, Teacher Sarah. Those are some good gifts that any of us can go get to help us celebrate Lent. And I do have a question for Teacher Sarah. What is a diaphanous ribbon? She'll tell us afterwards. But for now, I would like to dismiss us into our breakout rooms, which is a hugely important part of our service, chance to connect with new people. You know, we can even avoid the usual social anxiety of being at church and wondering who to talk to, because we just get magically put into rooms and then you know who you're supposed to talk to. Isn't that great? What a gift it is to be in these breakout rooms. And so today in the breakout rooms, if you would just share with the other people who appear magically on your screen about some memorable gift you have received. That's it. It doesn't have to be your favorite gift. It just has to be something you remember. What's the first gift that you have received that you could just share with other people? It might be a recent one, might be a long-term childhood one. Whatever comes to your mind, share a gift that you have received that was memorable, and who gave it to you, and why it was memorable. We'll see you in 10 minutes. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to our time in the Word together. And I'd like to appreciate Irene for reading for us the gospel according to Luke from chapter 22.
Okay. So Luke 22, 14 through 16. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this.
Thank you so much for that reading of the word. Thanks be to God for that word, Irene. And I would like to briefly just introduce this passage before I hand it on to our Eucharistic ministers. Let's give it up for our Eucharistic ministers. We're going to hear from them in just a minute. We're going to hear from Kim and Ed and Dana. And we've been waiting for a long time to share. They're very excited about what they have to share. And I just want to set that up a little bit as we look through this passage together. And I would like to do something that is, you should never do in a sermon. So if I ever like am interviewing for a job, which I never will, because I'm going to stay at Seawell forever, of course. But if I would, I would never show the sermon, because you're never supposed to start by defining a word. But I'm going to do it anyway, because today we're going to focus on a very churchy, boring word, the word sacrament. But it's really a beautiful word, and it's really exciting. So let me just tell you what it is. I feel like we're on a bit of a churchy word roll. In recent weeks, we've talked about the liturgical tradition and the charismatic tradition. And I thought that was really cool, and we really got into it. So I'm feeling confident, and I'm like, man, maybe we can get into the sacraments as well. So here's what a sacrament is. Now, I know I just lost some of you, but come back, because a sacrament is really like a gift. A sacrament is something that God gives us in the church that is a physical gift, right? It can't be like these days, it's more and more popular to give a gift, like a gift code for something, right? Because you get things online. And like, here's a gift code to Amazon, 43721, whatever, and you cut and paste it. And like, no, a real gift, it has to be physical. And a sacrament is also like a physical gift. And it's partly because that Jesus Christ himself is like a physical gift coming to earth in a human body. And that's a gift to us, right? So this isn't just a sentiment or nice words, but it's this, a gift is like this physical thing. And so we share these gifts. This is the gift that I thought of. It's just my nameplate that was made by my friend Sayuri. Like 25 years ago, we're in a small group together. She put like nice Bible verses on it. And I have had this nameplate, like it's followed me all over the world for like 25 years. And, you know, Sayuri's a great friend of Jody and mine. She was in our wedding, but we don't see her as much. And yet, like, I remember Sai, like every day because I see this nameplate. And so shout out to Sayuri. And that's how a gift is. Like, a really good gift actually connects us with someone and makes them like present to us and helps us remember them, right? And so that's really what a sacrament is. The technical term for like a sacrament is it's like a means of grace. It's a way that God gives God's grace to you. And grace itself, the word grace means God's free gift of life-giving power. So a sacrament is like something, it's like God's own sort of love language, right? Like God is loving us and connecting God's own self with us through this sacrament. And so that's what we really see in this passage. It's the sacrament is so exciting and powerful because it's a way of God really tangibly like viscerally like loving us in a way that we receive and a way that we treasure, just like some of those gifts that we had just talked about. All right, so let's quickly walk through this passage before we get to the main event of our Eucharistic ministers. And I want to start at the end because it really frames the context here. Unlike our last sermon series in John, where we talked about how like Jesus is the trunk and we're the branches, it was kind of this beautiful but also very static thing. Like it's a tree growing, okay. But in distinction to that, this is like drama. This is like cosmic drama. This is the last week of Jesus' life. And we saw actually last week that before they did the preparation for the Passover, that Satan actually enters into Judas and Judas goes off to scheme to betray Jesus. And so Jesus, you know, he's going to be talking about this beautiful gift he wants to give all of his followers. But the context, the bookends to this is sort of like cosmic drama and conflict and betrayal and foreboding. So that's really the context of Jesus' last life. You know, we've been going through the Gospel of Luke for like two years, and it's like the pace is increasing and the tension is increasing. And we know that something really, really huge and maybe bad and tragic and scary is about to happen. So that's the context for this like last meal of Jesus. And so like the hour is coming. This is like the last moments of Jesus' life. And so everything is heightened, like every word is even more important. And so these gifts that Jesus gives to his followers, his spiritual friends, are also gifts that God gives to us. So we actually see the first gift right here in the first sentence. It says, when the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with him. So like, stop right there. Actually, the word apostles is a word that Luke hardly ever uses. Luke usually calls them like the followers of Jesus or disciples. But why does he use the word apostles here? It's actually because, you know, you think about like all the paintings of the Last Supper or whatever. And the disciples, the apostles, are so important in this picture because they sort of embody or symbolize or represent the entire church throughout all time, right? So the apostles are really us. It's this group of spiritual friends throughout time and space that Jesus, they're sort of like embodying or symbolizing that right there in their physical body and in through a meal, which of course is another huge theme in the Gospel of Luke, is through the meal, the community gathers. And as we share food together, we are genuinely a community. So I think the first gift, the first sacrament that we see here is literally the community itself. And so I just want to remind us that we ourselves are God's gift to each other. And so again, look on the screen. I can't stop saying this enough, that whenever we show up and whenever we put on our cameras on the scene and we see each other's faces, and I just watched Brittany take a drink of something, which was probably tea. You know, like we see each other's, it's like a gift, right? We see that like Hank is wearing glasses today. And, you know, we see these things. We see each other. And that might seem mundane, but maybe it's actually not mundane. And maybe this coronavirus season makes us really realize that even just seeing each other's faces, even just that moment that Christians gather on a Sunday morning, that itself is a sacrament. It is a gift. And literally our faces on a screen together is a gift to each other, and that God is present in them. And that in a sense, that's what Jesus came to do, is to create a church, to create a community, and to give us something who are followers of Jesus that really nobody else has at this hard time and hard place. That's what the word apostles means. It's a gift. It's a sacrament. Let's continue here. That's the first kind of sacramental thing that God gives us to each other. And so, by the way, let me just kind of a quick parenthesis here. I even think that those breakout rooms that we just did are like a gift. It's a sacrament, right? As a social experience, your mileage may vary. Like, I can't guarantee that as a social experience that it'll be fun or enjoyable. Our breakout, this group this morning was really fun and enjoyable. It was like stellar, but you never know, right? But it's not just about the social experience. It's actually about the sacramental experience, right? It's about the fact that these people are a gift of God to us and to each other that Jesus has really gathered together. And because of that special connection, actually we can go deeper as friends with each other than we sort of could if we were like meeting at work or meeting at the park with our kids or something. Jesus brings us together in a community that is deep and powerful and beautiful. That's the first gift. So now Jesus is leading us to like the main event. And he says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you, this really important Jewish holiday, this season. And Jesus is now telling them that, you know what, this is the last one that I'm going to eat before I suffer. It's again, this dark foreboding thing. And he says, I'm not going to eat it again until like the kingdom of God comes at the very end of time. So what that signals is that this meal, that what Jesus is about to say and do are like sort of Jesus' last words, really. It's a very like, and for, certainly in the ancient world, like anytime you have like the last words of a patriarch or of an important person, everybody writes them down and everybody focuses on them. So Jesus is about to say like, what I'm doing is something really special. I'm going to give you a gift to all of my followers for all times and all places. And so he says, here's the cup. And the cup is really important because in the Passover service, there was actually four different cups that they would drink, and Jewish people would always explain like this cup means this in Jewish history. And so Jesus is kind of following in that tradition, and he's saying, you know, what we're about to eat and drink, it's actually going to be a gift with like really, really deep meaning. And it's going to actually point to like this gift, which will have permanent significance. So here it is. The gift of the sacramental gift of Jesus to us. And this is something we hear every week. It's a loaf of bread that Jesus says, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in, again, the Passover tradition, he does the same thing with a cup. And he's like, this cup, what it means is this cup that's poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. It's a sort of a brand new relational start. It's a brand new, beautiful gift. And Jesus is taking these things, which are just like staples, like, maybe we need to rethink the whole wine thing a little bit, because for me, like, I don't drink wine like with every meal. Like, you maybe you'd be concerned about me if I did. But in the ancient world, when like water's bad and like whatever, like you kind of do drink wine like all the time. It's just, you know, maybe not a high quality wine. And bread is like the staple. It's like when we lived in Costa Rica, we ate beans and rice two meals a day. Costa Ricans eat beans and rice three meals a day, right? And so in the ancient world, bread is like literally that thing you have for every single meal. So what Jesus is saying is like these commonplace elements are actually going to be this gift that I want to give to you. And there are really, I think, a tangible gift that God brings to and gives to our community that I think we can look past as we think about the bread and the wine, or, you know, whatever you're drinking from, whatever sort of commonplace thing. This is a very, very special gift that God gives to us in this season of conflict. You know, just like, you know, Jesus gives this great sort of speech. Here's a sacrament for all time and all place. Oh, and by the way, I'm about to get betrayed by this very community that is so special and so great. And so for us, in a time in which our community is under threat and our relationships with each other are challenged and severed, yet we come together around this table and around these tangible gifts that God gives to us. And I really think that, you know, years from now, we're always going to remember this season. We're coming up on a year of doing this, of taking these gifts in our homes virtually together. And I think we're always going to remember like this season and these gifts that we take and share with each other and we do every week. That's going to sort of pass into our memory and our long-term church experience. That will be a thing. Remember that time when we continued to gather during the pandemic? Remember how our community was continued to build up and how we actually got closer to each other? instead of like falling apart, like so many communities and like so many people in this time. Do you remember the gift of God that God gave Jesus's own very tangible presence and how we came every week and how the pandemic could not stop us from receiving that gift? And do you remember how we were actually able to grow spiritually during that season? And do you remember that Lent in which we engaged and we showed up for each other and how that was something really special? So I just want to say, Sewell, don't look past the gifts of God, which can seem really common. In a sense, I think the gift of God that God wants to give us is like a sacramental lens, certainly on our church service, but even on our lives, even on the simple, tangible things in our lives, that God is present in those things, and that God gives us special sacraments through the church, like the Eucharist. But God also gives us a sort of sacramental vision and lens on all of our life, because God loves us as a gift giver, and God pours out God's gift, free gift of life-giving power. So now the main event. We would love to hear. We've been waiting for a long time, like I said, to just share this, the Eucharistic ministers who every week, we partly chose these Eucharistic ministers because they see and value the gift of the Eucharist. And so they come with a lot of grace and excitement each week. And we'd just like to now give a chance to share like what these words that you see on your screen right now that we experience and embody every week in a tangible way. What does that mean to them? And maybe it's a chance for us to receive a deeper meaning, not just this week, but actually every week as we gather. So Ed, what's on your mind?
Hello. Oh, Jimmy says hi too. I think with the breakout group, the question of a memorable gift, I think that was great, because what makes communion memorable to me is first of all, I love food and I love drink. So, I always tell people that I love food so much. If you take away food, I would literally die. Food, it, you know, silliness aside, it's two things that are very real and present, and it's something we can't live without. It's something that everyone takes, something that everyone has to do multiple times during the day, right? Especially like in times like this where, the pandemic has only kind of increased the divide between, like the haves and the have-nots, the privileged and the poor, things like that. I think communion is something so like countercultural that it stands in that gap, right? It's something that everyone can partake in, anyone can partake in. Everyone already knows what to do, right? It's eating, it's drinking, it's very ordinary, and yet Jesus adds the extraordinary. It's very accessible. It's accessible to all. And it's something we all already do. And that's what I love about it. Take it away, Kim.
All right. So I'm Kim, and one of the things that I love about communion is the physicality of it. It's the putting something in my mouth, tasting, chewing, swallowing. Because there are ways that I'm tempted to make my faith all about believing the right things in my head, working out all the right theology, and believing that what I do with my body doesn't matter as much. I lose touch with the fact that Jesus came in a body, that he touched people's bodies, and he was resurrected in a body, flesh and bone. And so we eat and drink in a body. And like when my theology maybe is not all correct, or I'm depressed, I'm in a place where I don't know what I believe in my head, my body can still say yes to Jesus. I can still take Jesus and feel him in my body. And I love that. it also sort of reminds me of a story of when Church Without Walls was just beginning, and we were meeting in a living room. We were trying to figure out how we wanted to do church, and we had been meeting for a while, and yet we had not done communion together yet. And someone brought it up and said, could we like start doing communion? That's something that churches do. And I think we all kind of got stressed out, and it's like, well, you know, we haven't figured out all the theology of what we think. There were some concerns about how we would do it. We had some very high church people in our group. We had some very low church people. Like, do we dip or do we sip? You know, all this. And what about children? When do children start taking it? Like, we hadn't figured it out. And one of us said, well, could we just like pick one of the ways of doing it and start doing it? And maybe we can figure it out as we go. And so we did. We started taking communion. And it turns out that we never did figure it all out. We never did all come to believe the same things. We still have high church people and low church people. We still have like different ways that we think about communion, but we all come together and we do it, and we bring the different ways that we see it. It's a way that we come together and say like, yeah, we may not have it all figured out in our heads. Or we may have different things in our heads, but we come in our body, we say yes to Jesus. And, that's what I love about communion. Dana, it's all you.
Hey, I am Dana, and I think it's good for me to tell you a little bit about how communion affects me personally, to talk about what's really important to me about communion these days, is that I didn't grow up in a church, so obviously not taking communion at that time, but I also didn't become a Christian until I became a Christian, not through a church, but through, you know, a parachurch kind of thing. So I also wasn't taking communion then. It wasn't until many years later, actually at CWOW, that I started to take communion. And that was years after I'd become a Christian. And one of the things that has been true about me throughout my Christian life, and even before I was a Christian, was really this struggling with some really kind of fundamental intrinsic sense of not being worthy. And so, and it was interesting to me because when I started to take communion, it wasn't like that magically changed. However, it did create a fundamental narrative that countered those feelings that I was doing every week. Every week I was being reminded that there is no worthy and unworthy at the communion table. There's nothing I can do to make myself more worthy to come, and nothing that I have done that makes me unworthy. And so that has just been a really powerful thing. And so that was something that is such a grace to me about communion, but it's also evolved, because that was sort of the initial sort of like really kind of visceral thing that I was experiencing during communion. But I've also come to this place of thinking about that it's not just about my worth, you know, as I come to the table, but there is something super important about the communion table where that there's equity at the communion table. There's no high seat and there's no low seat. We have to remember that no one is better you, but you are also no better than anybody else. And that everybody, God makes space for everybody at the communion table. And to me, that's just this really beautiful picture of the grace of God and the sort of fundamental expression of God's love through the communion table. So we're meant to take what we receive at that communion table and turn it out to the world. And so we're reminded of that every single week when we receive those gifts, that what we have received, we can give to the world. But it's also deeply true that what we have received, we are able to give. It's out of the abundance of generosity and welcome and grace and inclusion that we receive at the communion table, that we are able to pour those things out into the world, that we can pour and reflect God's love out into the world, for especially for those people who are pushed to the margins, for whom they may feel like they're in a low seat. And that is just not true. And so that's something that I really deeply appreciate about the communion experience, the communion table, and the reminder every week, not only that I am welcome as I am, but that all of humanity is. So we're going to do something a little different. And since we've probably never had a better communion introduction, we're going to go straight into communion right now. So I'm going to toss it right back to you, Ed.
Cool. Yeah, we're changing things up, just like how Jesus changed Passover up a little bit, I guess. Okay. I don't know. But yeah, so going straight into communion, hopefully you all have your elements on you. Thanks, Tim, for reminding us to get that stuff. So yeah, like Gary was saying, this is our community. It's one of God's gifts to us. And in community is when we do is how we do communion here at Church Without Walls. So I guess just going straight into it. Get your foodstuffs, your bread, get your drink. Communion is how we remember and we celebrate Jesus, Jesus' death, his resurrection, his coming again, and we remember that he's coming again, right? This is stuff that he told us to do in remembrance of him. And kind of like what we all sort of touched on, it's for everyone and for anyone who is willing. It's crazy to think that Jesus gives himself to Judas, like just to the people that he knows is going to betray him, to Peter, who he knows is going to deny him. It's to think that accessibility is open to all and not just to all, even the people who are, just against him, right? He still offers. That's how deep that grace is, right? So with all that said, if you want to take your bread and your drink, we celebrate that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and those around him. And he said, take this. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he took the cup and he blessed it. He gave it to his disciples and all those around him.
Well, hold on, Jim.
He's very eager. My son is very eager. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Okay, hold on, Jim. We have to do it all together, okay? Yeah. And every time we partake of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and that he is coming again. So please extend your hands over your communion elements as I pray for them. Holy Spirit, come upon these elements and make them your very real presence. Thank you, Lord, so much for these gifts, for the gift of community, for the gift of you and your body, a very real and tangible way that we can engage and reflect on all that you are. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take and eat with hearts of joy.
As you can see in the chat, it sounds like Hans might have had a computer crash. So hold on. Yes, we're figuring it out. I also just wanted to say, this is like the director's cut from the sermon. I think having a sacramental understanding of our gatherings means we have a different lens. Like, it's not about like, were the social interactions smooth and amusing? Was the sermon inspiring? Was the worship uplifting? And did it really make me rock and roll? But in a sense, like, just the presence of Jesus with us, just the act of gathering itself is really a gift. And so in some ways, just being together and staring at each other in silence, the way we kind of just did a few minutes ago, that really itself is a gift. And so I was actually going to say that before. And so now I'm using it to sort of cover for a computer failure. But it is also very much true. And I think that does give us a different lens. It helps push us away from that very pervasive consumery lens, which even sometimes invades our friendship, where our friendships with people, we think like, who does it for me? Who doesn't? You have a hierarchy of friendships based on how well they perform and amuse you or interest you or inspire you. And so we are all together receiving the gift of God, whether our computers crash and whether we are staring at each other in silence or whether things are really rocking. So I have every hope that we will now soon start rocking as led by Hans. All right, more sacramental staring at each other, I guess then. I'm going to drink the rest of this wine.
Well, hi, CWOW community. My name is Jim Chotrotter, and I'm one of the prayer ministers today. This is a technical glitch, but I guess we'll take advantage of it now. There is multiple ways we gather to pray. And just as a reminder, there's a slide up here for all those things during the week. And today, even though it's a little different, we always have a group of people after church ready to pray for people. We have a prayer room set up, and hopefully, yes, it was just posted up, the link. Go into the chat room if you want for going into the prayer room. We have a group of prayer ministers ready to pair off and pray for anyone that comes asking for prayer. And everyone that comes in and asks for prayer, it will be kept confidential. Also, before service, like every Sunday, we also gather before church and just pray for the service and listen to God for words and impressions and then see what God has for us. And today is no different. And today are here's the words that we heard. And one was basically focused on family. There's probably, there seemed to be the impression that there's a family or at least a couple of families maybe that are experiencing worsening tension over the year. I mean, many of us probably are going through challenges, but this particular family is hard to resolve conflicts. If this speaks to you, please come for prayer. A word that came strongly also at the London retreat, but also today, was a word underwater. Many people feel like they're underwater in a figurative sense. You know, they can't breathe, they can't thrive. They're not sure how to make it through this period of the shelter in place still. If you feel like this speaks to you, we want to encourage you with words of hope, see how God can help you through it. Get out from underneath this feeling of being enclosed and being overwhelmed. And then finally, there was just a word about feeling dry during Lent and not feeling like you're being spoken to during Lent practices and wondering what this is all about. You want to experience more, but you're not really feeling it. And for those of you going through that, wanting to find new practices maybe, or maybe just some things were shared earlier today, just appreciating the ordinary things more and seeing God speak to you in that, please come for prayer for that. And if anything else is coming up, like even today, maybe this technical glitch is a reminder there's other things disrupting in your life and you need prayer for that as well. Please come and pray with us. We are eager to pray for you. We will be available till about 11:45, and we'll be ready and waiting. We'll pair off, and once you come to the prayer room and work things out there to pray for you. Today's prayer ministers are, and hopefully they'll be popping up soon, Bora Reed, Ron Sum, Tracy Ashlock, and myself. Okay, guys, we'll see you after the worship, however it comes about. All right, take care. Bye.
Okay, this is unpracticed. So hopefully this goes all right.
Thank you so much, Jody, coming in relief of Hans. And, you know, Hans had such a great set this morning. So thank you so much for your preparation, Hans. And we appreciate you very much. There's certainly nothing any of us can do when the tech subverts us. So we are here together and we are worshiping. And we would like to now send you off into this week with a blessing. And the blessing is some actually really familiar words. Our prayer for our community this week is that you would receive the gifts of God through the community, through communion, and through the commonplace. And so our prayer is that you would have a sacramental lens on everything that God has for you. So CWOW, this week, may you know that these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.